Hello, homies, and welcome to another episode of Easily Entertained. I am your host, Maddie McLean. It's so good to be back here with you guys again. Another week, another classically unhinged train wreck unfolding before our very eyes. And thank goodness, though, because, like, what else would we bitch about? What else would we talk about, you know? Like a good old reality TV show, there's got to be some drams, you know? There's got to be some zhuzh, as we say in the game. But, you know, that's one thing about this world. This content is king, saturated, overstimulated world that we live in. Always something to talk about. And or, my personal favorite, distract yourself from ever feeling your feelings. It's great. Simply by choosing to watch something like Friends or Gilmore Girls or some series like The Simpsons that has just an endless number of seasons available for your binging pleasure. If we watch that from start to finish, you could probably shave off a good decade of your life if you really wanted to. I am not endorsing that. That is not something that would be good for you. But you know what? It's just a thought. And if I watch The Simpsons, though, for longer than, honestly, an hour, I think I'd probably end up needing to be committed. So definitely don't suggest that, nor will I attempt to do that. I've, you know, found other ways to do so. I personally am quite talented at ignoring my own emotions in exchange for those of The Real Housewives, for example. You know, they're dishing out emotions left and right for my feast and pleasure. You bet your booty I'm going to do it. Yeah, because Lord knows they've got plenty to share with the rest of the class. But don't worry, this whole ignoring my feelings, I'll talk about that with my therapist next time we chat. Shout out Kim. Love you, girl. Anyways, speaking of the real life chaos that not even Shonda Rhimes herself could write or come up with, doctors and scientists have recently put out a study, in this case, an article for, I was not going to read the study. I'm so sorry. I will not do that. That's where I draw the line. But I did read this New York Times article where apparently researchers and scientists have discovered that long COVID is potentially responsible for cumulative cognitive decline in the global population. Now, they in particular, in this case, looked at the United States, and this is coming off the heels of the latest Census Bureau report that came out. Also something I will not read in full. No. I have more respect for myself than that, but it's still really interesting that in September of 2023, that's where they studied up until, we have seen the highest levels of cognitive decline than in the last 15 years. So the Census Bureau started adding these questions on to the Bureau report or whatever to a sample of Americans. And that's where they're getting all of these kinds of the information afterwards in terms of mental state and all of this. So when it comes to cognitive decline, they're defining this as having difficulty, well, serious difficulty remembering, concentrating or making decisions. So this sharp increase was by over 1 million people, and seeing most of that change in younger Americans. And where this huge spike started from was, you guessed it, right at the start of the pandemic in early 2020. And there's like most of anything in science, you know, we can't necessarily pinpoint one exact cause. And if there's anything I remember, causation does not equal correlation. Fuck, I even messed that up. Okay, let's try it again. Correlation does not necessarily equal causation. There we go. Thank you very much. I went to the school of journalism after. Okay. All right. Anyways, so let's read this from the New York Times article just for the sake of getting everything right. You feel me? So, in its monthly current population survey, the census asks a sample of Americans whether they have serious problems with their memory and concentration. It defines them as disabled if they answer yes to that question, or one of five others about limitations on their daily activities. The questions are unrelated to disability applications, so the respondents don't have a financial incentive to answer one way or another. At the start of 2020, the survey estimated there were fewer than 15 million Americans ages 18 to 64 with any kind of disability. That rose to about 16.5 million by September 2023. So scientists are saying sharp increases like that just don't come out of nowhere, just don't pop out of nowhere. There's a general kind of up and down, like most thing in life, you know, going with the flow, the motion of the ocean, honey. But there's quite a few different reasons that we could conjecture to or point to as to the reason behind this. One being that obviously our time spent in lockdowns and in quarantine and all of the stress of the pandemic that everybody experienced kind of led to, well, mental deterioration in terms of depression and anxiety. That also obviously increased just from the time spent alone in isolation, which can also have an effect on your cognitive health. However, they're also kind of relating this to the brain fog that is a common symptom of COVID, that it actually changes your brain chemistry even after you have recovered physically and are no longer experiencing, well, at least the obvious symptoms of COVID, that can stick with you. So that's not great, but it paints a picture that we were all kind of not excited to see, but we're just kind of taking guesses on how this might affect us. But the point that I would like to draw from this is that it's literal science, that people are more unhinged than ever before. So if that makes me a shitty human to feel vindicated and low-key validated by the fact that it's backed in a scientific research study, that people are just off the rails more so than ever. And it's not just millennials and Gen Z complaining all the time about life being harder. Okay, boomers, relax. Then again, Gen Z, like, maybe, I don't know, not relax a little less. Yeah, who knows? Whatever. Millennials, we've been taking a whipping for many years, but I digress. The Supreme Court of the United States of America, right? Justices, has just now released an official code of ethics, like in this past week. Yeah, so that's right. The literal judges, the highest form of judges of ethics, did not have their own code of ethics to abide by until literally a few days ago. Like, you cannot make this up. You really can't. I was honestly flabbergasted when I read this in The Skim. Love The Skim. If you do not subscribe to them, they do a daily newsletter. They've got lots of shit now. Whole media empire. I subscribe, but you know, it's okay. You don't need to subscribe because you can listen to my podcast instead. I mean, we don't cover everything there, but it's where you can stay informed if you'd like. This new code of conduct comes off the heels of quite a few, let's say, nefarious, naughty little players on the little cute Supreme Court justices like Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, basically taking bribes for luxury vacays. And then Sonia Sotomayor used her clout to like secure book sales. Yeah, unclear who will be enforcing this code of conduct within the ultimate enforcers of codes of conduct, so to speak, but it's a 9-pager. It's a 9-pager code of conduct that the people in serving roles like below them or whatever, on like that corporate ladder, that they already abide by, but they do not themselves. And 9 pages, you know, I'm pretty sure like Google's, you know, cookie acceptance disclaimer on any website is way longer than that. So we'll see. If that isn't America, what is? Hot dogs, probably. hot dogs, yeah. But that's about as political as we get here on Easily Entertained, because we're not easily manipulated, nor are we easily triggered, right? Say it with me, guys. Anyways, let's move right the fuck on, why don't we, into that new, honey. New. I again had a nitro cold brew, which I went with the large this time, but I think they gave me a medium because I think it's kind of like Panera Bread's charged lemonade. Okay. We're pausing everything to talk about Panera Bread's charged lemonade debacle. Buckle up. So Panera Bread, earlier last month, in late October of this year, came under fire because sadly a 21-year-old named Sarah Katz from University of Pennsylvania died after drinking a large 30-ounce of their charged lemonade. So their charged lemonade was advertised on their menu, on their website, all what have you, as a clean plant-based lemonade with about as much caffeine as their dark roast. Well, it's semi-true, because if you got a 20-ounce of their dark roast, it was about similar to 268 milligrams of caffeine. Take the charged lemonade that had 390 in the large 30-ounce drink. Wasn't really advertised as something that's super dangerous, but, and also people don't walk around knowing how many milligrams of caffeine is in anything. Like, I know, sure as fuck I don't, which is probably not great. So now we're going to. But now the family is suing Panera Bread. Panera Bread still has their charged lemonade out. And the reason that it hasn't really gone much further is because Sarah Katz did have an underlying heart condition that she was diagnosed with at age 5. But still, it's absolutely bonkers. It's as much caffeine as a large Red Bull and a large, I think they're like 16-ounce Monster energy drink combined. So it is actually lethal, and they're still serving it. You can get it. A charged lemonade, like, and you can't really put that kind of caffeine in front of really anyone under the age of like 30, maybe, or predisposed to making bad decisions. Like, I feel like I would try that, you know? I got the nitro cold brew, but I know for sure that there is a limit. Luckily, you got to know your limits, but it also was giving me the OG recipe of Four Loko. Yeah. Before it was banned, and it had like caffeine and guarana, which is another stimulant. And that also charged lemonade also had guarana in it and taurine. So all bad shit for you. I mean, the FDA at this point, after learning all of like the lackluster essential code of conducts, they need to do like the Supreme Court, honey, and get themselves a better code of conduct, better code of ethics. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I had a horrible experience with Four Loko back in high school. You know who you are, friends, that experienced that Four Loko experience with us. We went and saw Pretty Lights and it was horrifying, and never had any of that ever again. Well, I hope not. I probably have, but I in my college days or something. I'm not that much of a crazy bitch. Yeah, horrible, scary. Don't recommend. Yeah, already. And apparently, it's because caffeine delays the effects of alcohol, so you won't necessarily feel as drunk as you're about to get until you do. And back in college or whenever you would drink that, you would keep drinking. And then it would all hit you. And that is bad news bears. Bad news bears. Don't do it at home, kids. And when I was looking this up too, they literally, I mean, it's easy. They have some guy put on his blog, like the recipe to the OG Four Loko, if you want to torture yourself, okay, and drink some gasoline. You can. Don't recommend it. 10 out of 10 doctors don't. Anywho. I'm no doc. I'm no docupoc. But let's jump back into what we were going to talk about, which is that new. What new shit is going on? So in terms of music, millennials rejoice. There is a new T-Pain song, and it's with Snoop D-O-double-G as well. I sounded so white saying that. Incredibly white. Pasty white. Pillsbury Doughboy white. I know, but anyways, so exciting. It's very catchy. It's very, very catchy. You know how T-Pain's Buy You a Drink elicits like a metaphysical kind of experience? You know what I'm saying? We're wearing like, just picture it. It's on, okay? We're wearing layered tees. We're wearing a tee with a tank top over it from Limited 2. We're sipping on our vanilla cream frappuccinos from Starbucks at the mall. We're taking selfies on the MacBooks at the Apple store on photo booth with all of our friends with those crazy filters that were just absurd and obnoxious, right? Okay. That's where I'm taking you guys. There's also this great store. It sold like those, remember the plastic furniture, like blow up furniture, come in like neon colors. Yeah. Those were the days, you know? Gen Z of today and younger, they don't know pain, like being that uncomfortably awkward at that age, right? You know, just braces, big old mouth, just putting on like choreographed dances to Avril Lavigne on the internet. Well, I don't know, would we email it to each other? Like, I'm a Zillennial, you know, shout out Zillennials, but That's a Gen Z and a millennial cuspy peeps. Anyways, that's for another topic. That's for another day too. I find that increasingly interesting, these kind of generation characteristics. But then again, if you're in marketing at all, like that's like 80% of your job. Not really, but it's just talked about all the fucking time. So do you want to know the name of that song? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It is called That's How We Ballin', and highly recommend. So That's How We Ballin' by T-Pain featuring Snoop Dogg, who also T-Pain, despite him being like the poster boy for autotune, great voice, great singing voice. In season one of The Masked Singer, there's a YouTube video of him singing. He's got an incredible voice. Like, he's super, super talented, and nobody could guess. All the judges had no idea who it was. And just thought it's comical that it ended up being a musician or rapper that was on The Masked Singer. And yeah, pretty funny. So highly recommend. It's catchy. It's catchy. Booty Work, T-Pain's. That's my very favorite T-Pain song. I remember blasting that song when I got kicked out of camp. I got kicked out of Christian camp once upon a time when I was not a camper. I was like an intern, basically. You weren't paid. It was called work crew. The girlies were in work crew, and we worked in the kitchen. The boys were on program crew, and they built things and set up shit and all that good stuff. Yeah. And we had a day off, and we went to float the river as Texans do. And they got beer, and we drank some beer while floating the river, and somebody was a snitch. Somebody was a narc and told on us, and we all got sent home, and it was like half of the program crew and half of the work crew. That was an experience, but all from the song Booty Work. Maybe I did need to go home and pray and think about my choices, but no regrets, honey. That's a fun little story time for you. What else is new? Jack Harlow released his latest single called Lovin' On Me that we have all likely heard if you've been on TikTok. He is kind of been the king of TikTok. That's where he got his startup with What's Poppin' back in 2020. He's teased this song Lovin' On Me for a while, which is super catchy. It's always nerve-wracking because sometimes these artists, and he's done it before with his song First Class, sometimes they put out like the catchiest bit of their song on TikTok, and then people use it and use it and use it, and it goes viral because it's great, because it's good, people love it. But then you get this, you listen to the full song when it's finally released. And if they wait too long and it's like, oh, that was the best part of the song. And now I'm let down. It's like how Netflix will sometimes just in the trailer play the entire movie before you. You're like, well, I don't feel like we can watch this now because we just did when we watched the trailer. You know what I'm saying? It always gets me. So I don't really watch. No, I still watch trailers, but I'm careful about it. You know what I'm saying? Once you notice it, you won't stop. But I'm also not going to stop talking about Jack Harlow. Just real quick, because I was reading up on him on his bio, according to Wikipedia. So, I mean, whatever, sue me. I use Wikipedia. I think it should be trusted. Whatever. Teachers at any school will tell you not to. So, just a disclaimer here, but he's 25 years old. He's from Louisville. That's how you're supposed to say it, apparently, I think. Louisville, Kentucky. And he blew up in 2020, back when the pandemic started. But he was a hustler from the get-go. When he was 12 years old, he used a Guitar Hero microphone and his laptop, put together a little mixtape, and then went to his middle school and sold his mixtape around. Yeah. And also highly recommend you look up Jack Harlow 2020. Look at his images from then and look at them now. That man went through a glow up. Yeah. So I just found that interesting. I don't know if you do, but potato patats, right? And I mean, I really just wanted to, while this isn't like hot off the press, we simply could not ignore the sparkly billion-dollar, gorgeous, beautiful, perfect pair of elephants in the room. That is Taylor Mother Swift and Travis Father Kelsey. That makes it sound like he's a priest or a pastor or something. Father Kelsey. This doesn't really have the same effect as calling someone mother. Anyways, really my segue was just to remind you, in case you've been living under a rock or not, just how incredible and how deliciously cute their PDA has been. Taylor Swift changed up her lyrics in her Buenos Aires, Argentina concert in the song Karma. Instead of saying, Karma is my boyfriend, Karma is a guy on the screen running back home to me. I hope, I don't know, we may not put that in here because it's so horrible and it's going to hurt your ears. But instead she said, Karma is my boyfriend, Karma is the guy on the Chiefs running home to me. And there's video from like every angle of Travis Kelsey at the concert, like freaking out. And Papa Swift is like tapping him on the shoulder like, oh, did you hear that? It's adorable. Taylor Swift giggles. And why did it make me emotional? Unsure, but it was just so cute. And I'm so sorry because I think everybody is probably like, okay, quit spoon feeding me, Travis. You know, quit spoon feeding me Taylor and Travis content. But I can't have a pop culture podcast and not talk about it. It's, oh, and then of course the video of her running, like she has a cute little run up to him to kiss him after her show. And it's so cute. And Travis Kelsey's just waving at her fans and smiling. And like, I just love to see Taylor Swift happy. You know, we've all grown, well, not we've all, but growing up with her and all the shit that she gets. Wow. It's her year. We're just living in it. Right. So anyways, we're not going to dwell too hard in that, but now for a little bit of new in terms of movies or TV for you to continue to ignore your own emotions and feelings and instead watch these. If you have not yet seen Priscilla, this is Sofia Coppola's latest movie starring the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful specimen, Jacob Elordi, who you will know from Euphoria on HBO. This is all about the POV of Priscilla Presley and the beginning of their relationship to the end of it. And we all, even if you know the story, which I think a lot of people do know, and I won't like spoil the whole thing, so I'm not going to go into too much detail so that it's not ruined. it's very interesting. There are some things I didn't know, like how young Priscilla Presley was when she was like sought out by Elvis, basically. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love me an older man. It's kind of like my thing. Like, I just prefer that. But this one was a little questionable. I think it was like twice her age or something. So that probably had a little something to do with the demise of it. But it's very interesting. And you learn plenty of other things about it. It kind of drags on. I won't lie to you. I really liked it. Some of my friends did not like it. We're not such a huge fan, but it's like a slow burn, but it's a good burn. Then there is also Quiz Lady, which is on Hulu, and it's starring Sandra Oh and Awkwafina. And I have yet to see this, but I will be watching this soon. It has great ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and Google reviews and all that good shit. And according to IMDb, is about a tightly wound game show obsessed Anne must team up with her chaotic sister Jenny to help pay off their mother's gambling debts. When Anne's beloved dog is kidnapped, they set off on a cross-country journey to get the money they need. To do so, they must tap into Anne's skill set by turning her into the game show champion she was always meant to be. And it is a comedy. Looks great. Looks wonderful. So, highly recommend. Another TV, this one is a series, is Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV Plus. I recently started watching this with my mama. I'll give you that little synopsis too. In the 1950s, Elizabeth Zott's dream of being a scientist is challenged by a society that says women belong in the domestic sphere. She accepts a job on a TV cooking show and sets out to teach a nation of housewives way more than recipes. Dun, dun, dun. It's really good so far. I am only on episode 3, I believe, but it's really good. It has Brie Larson is kind of the biggest star. And Apple TV Plus, yes, I may have like worked for them, but still, I haven't watched a really crappy show on there. I've watched like an okay one before, but you can't go that wrong, honestly. Also not sponsored. Just a reco. And now for a few pop culture updates for you, including the 2024 Grammy nominations were released this week. It is the 67th Grammy Awards. I swear to you, we just had 2023. But that's showbiz, baby, okay? We just keep it rocking. So to no one's surprise, I think, women absolutely owned the noms, just like they did to the charts this last year. With SZA, she is leading the charge, which is kind of, you know, you'd think with all this Taylor talk to be Taylor, but don't worry, she's definitely involved. SZA is leading the charge with 9 total nominations for her album SOS and some of the songs on there, followed by Phoebe Bridgers, Victoria Monet, all with 9, and mixing engineer Serban Ganea. Industry Plant. Perhaps, just kidding. It's just, we don't know, with 7 noms. And then after that, we got key players, of course, like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish. Men, knock, knock, where you at? Look alert. While it doesn't make like a huge difference to people like you and I that listen to these artists, like all of the nominations and who wins and all of this, definitely makes a huge difference and is a huge deal, obviously, for those in the industry and the actual artists and musicians. Still, it's interesting to me how big of a deal it is and people will pay attention. And obviously, it's something that we talk about as I am doing now in the pop culture discourse, but like how little ultimately it means, you know, to us. Like, it's just an interesting kind of dynamic there. But back to the nominations of this year, Taylor Swift already with her nominations and wins, she's already in the leagues of in about the same level of wins and noms as Stevie Wonder, Frank Sinatra, and Paul Simon. So obviously major players. But if she does take home any more wins with Midnights, which let's be real, she probably will, she will have surpassed those. So a little education for you, because this confused me. There will be Song of the Year and Record of the Year. It's like, okay, because then there's song, record, and album. Kind of confusing, but what this really means is, simply put, and this is from the Grammys website, Record of the Year deals with a specific recording of a song, and that recognizes the kind of the teamwork behind it. So the artists, the producers, the engineers who contribute to that recording. Whereas the Song of the Year deals with the composition of a song and recognizes the songwriters who wrote the song. Anyways, so let's talk about a few of the big nominations. Record of the Year, we have Worship by John Batiste, Not Strong Enough, Boy Genius, Flowers by Miley Cyrus, What Was I Made For from Barbie by Billie Eilish, On My Mama by Victoria Monet, Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo, Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift, and Kill Bill by SZA. That's some domination right there, honey. John Batiste really took home a ton of awards last year. Album of the Year, we've got World Music Radio, John Batiste, The Record by Boy Genius, Endless Summer Vacation by Miley Cyrus. Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard by Lana Del Rey? The Age of Pleasure by Janelle Monáe, Guts by Olivia Rodrigo, Midnights by Taylor Swift, and SOS by SZA. SZA. And Song of the Year is pretty much the same. The only difference being Dance the Night from Barbie the Album by Dua Lipa and the songwriters and producers and all that good stuff. And A&W by Jack Antonoff and Lana Del Rey. As for brand new artists, this was interesting to me. We've got Gracie Abrams, Fred Again, which that's my personal choice. Ice Spice, Jelly Roll, Coco Jones, Noah Kahan, and Victoria Monet. Kind of interesting this year. There are a few snubs, like Morgan Wallen, who was snubbed last year too. Kind of for his behavior more than his music, apparently. Like, he was uninvited to perform. This was with his whole... tons of TikToks went around and Morgan Wallen was like making out with a ton of 18-year-olds at colleges where he was playing. And he was married? Was he married? Let's see, real quick. Real quick. Oh, no. Girlfriend. I mean, still obviously horrible, but anyway, we didn't see any of the Latin artists, which is kind of crazy. No Peso Pluma, no Bad Bunny. Nobody's up there. I don't know. In other news, from a little bit of a collide of reality TV universes, Giannina and Blake Horstman are expecting their first child together. If you have no idea who I'm talking about, that's fine. I'll tell you. So Giannina, you might know her from Love is Blind season 1. And the iconic scene of Giannina fleeing the scene of the altar and falling on her ass in mud in her wedding dress. Both probably a tough moment to live out and live through, but great TV. She met Blake Horstman, who was from Becca Kufrin's season of The Bachelorette and was the runner-up for Becca's final rose. He then went on to Bachelor in Paradise season 6. After having hooked up with two of the girls that would come on Bachelor in Paradise. So obviously that went over really well. Not at all. People hated him. He kind of got the villain edit. Probably because he kind of like was acting a little bit like a villain. But this is where we had the birth of Stagecoach Gate, where all of Bachelor Nation, I guess, congregates after their seasons. And in between is Stagecoach. It's where it all goes down. So, you know, Bachelor in Paradise has kind of lost its like of finding love with whoever you end up falling in love with versus going there to meet someone specifically, which used to be like a no-no on the show. Like, they almost kicked somebody out for doing that in past seasons. But now I guess they just don't care. You know, they all meet up afterwards at Stagecoach or in their Instagram DMs. And, you know, that's how modern love begins these days. Anyways, so Giannina and Blake from two different reality shows met up at some spinoff show. Sorry, I did not do my research on this show because no one's heard of it, so don't really have that much interest. But that's apparently where they met and they started dating. And this is back in 2022, early 2022 when they were filming. And now they are pregnant and expecting their first baby. They're not engaged yet, but apparently that's something that's on the table. But we must move on to the Golden Bachelor and our boy Gary and all the lovely ladies of the Golden Bachelor. So where we ended it last week was the cliffhanger of cliffhangers, where he was at the rose ceremony with three ladies, Leslie, who had already gotten the rose, Teresa, and Faith, who were on the chopping block to receive the last rose until there would be just two and move on to the finale. They did have the women tell all, which usually is one of my favorite episodes because it's the messiest. That's why I'm watching a reality TV show. You know what I'm saying? And it definitely wasn't messy, but it was really sweet and it was really heartfelt. And I actually cried during one of the scenes. Again, those emotions, they're buried deep in there, but they are there. I'll tell you what, I'm a Pisces moon, honey. Lots of emotions. So all of the ladies come back, or at least majority of them come back for the show, and we still didn't figure out who he chooses. So we'll get to that later on. Spoiler alert. And they spend a good amount of time talking about flatulence, and they cook for themselves. So was it Susan's meatballs or was it the guacamole? I don't personally see how guacamole can cause that. So I'm team meatballs. As you can see, they didn't have that much drama to focus on. The only drama being that of Kathy and her famous zip it line that she gave to Teresa, and who then became the quote villain of the Golden Bachelor because that was the best they could get out of that. But it was a very sweet episode. Kathy kind of makes up for it and sort of apologizes. Like, I don't think she ever says sorry. And also Teresa, who she had her beef with, was not there because she is in the final three. Kris Jenner calls in because her lookalike Susan is there. And they do this kind of quasi, supposed to be like a personal video message that she sent on Jesse Palmer's phone. So we watch it from like Jesse Palmer's iPhone, which is kind of a weird call. But I think they're trying to make it seem like up close and intimate and personal, and how sweet, even though they're also just probably promoting ABC's show The Kardashians, because ABC owns Hulu, or Disney owns ABC and Hulu. Whatever, Disney owns everything is what I mean. So they're in the same fam bam. Thank you, ma'am. We catch up with some of our favorites, like Joan, who was not there that long, but she's getting the Bachelorette edit. She wasn't there very long, but she's beautiful. She ended up leaving kind of early on in Gary's season when her daughter, it was revealed, we didn't know exactly why then, but she left to go be with her daughter who had recently given birth. And it turns out that her daughter had severe postpartum depression, and that's why she left to go be with her. And I mean, kudos. You've got to be there for your family. Unlike our girl Sandra, who missed her daughter's wedding, I still clearly have not gotten over that, but apparently neither has America, because they did talk about that too. But they talked with Joan a little bit, and she felt, you know, the sense of there wasn't real closure there when she left, and she felt like things could have worked out. So that was tough. But Gary is such a smooth talker, man. Like, I mean, I guess that comes with age too. Maybe that's why I like older men, not Gary's age, but they all kind of tell Gary, thank you for opening our eyes to love, and it's sweet. Okay. Now we move back to where we left off from the rose ceremony. And Leslie has her rose, and now it is down to Faith and Teresa. Gary had left the scene of the crime, had left the rose ceremony, and broke down and was crying, and already putting myself in the feels, like, come on, hold on, the Bachelor cannot break this poor man. Comes back, and to everyone's surprise, he gives this rose to Teresa and sends home Faith. I was absolutely shocked. I thought for sure Faith would make it, based on the reactions of everybody at the Women Tell All, where they're watching it live. shocking to them as well. So probably to you too. Gary had said, I love you to Faith and Leslie. And he has not said that, as far as we know yet, to Teresa. He definitely hasn't said it to her face yet, but that was one of the saddest Women Tell All reunions, seeing Faith and Gary meet again. It was so charged, so emotional, so raw. And you could just tell, and like, you know, that feeling and heartbreak, it like physically hurts and it feels like you're ill. Like you can feel like your heart has like this weight to it, you know, not to get you guys really depressed and sad, but you felt it. And I think everybody did. And when he sent her home, she was kind of in a state of shock, and they have this really emotional reunion, and they're like bawling, crying into each other's, well, more like Faith is crying. Gary's crying too. You can kind of see, but, and just whispering things to each other, unclear. They did that like all season, but and it was just really sad. And you could tell Faith was still hurting. Faith like put her hand on Gary's leg when she's talking to him and was like, oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to interact with you without touching you. And I feel like that's honestly kind of, that is a representation of kind of what the regular seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, I think, are missing, is those that like raw moments. They're almost like too aware that cameras are on them. It's a little bit impossible to like ignore the camera crew and giant video cameras following you around and you're hooked up to a mic and all of that. But there's this kind of genuine, more real aspects that these ladies brought to the show that was missing for so long since, I think, you know, the early seasons of the franchise. We're definitely not done with the Golden Bachelor, and people are now speculating on who the Golden Bachelorette will be. People have speculated pretty much across the board. Susan was kind of set up to be a favorite. And then, of course, there's Joan. And now could be Teresa or Leslie, depending on who Gary ends up choosing. Faith could be one. There could be... who else do we think? Ellen was a favorite too. From there on, now we are gearing up for the finale this week, and we'll see who Gary chooses. They're flying to Costa Rica. So we'll look forward to that this week. And of course, another episode of Bachelor in Paradise, which, you know, it's a great show to like do things while you watch for me this season. I'm just not so much into it. I don't know. I have to admit. If you guys want more in-depth or frequent kind of coverage or reviews of Bachelor in Paradise, let me know. I'll be happy to do it. Just a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, but it was an interesting week and a lot of curveballs were thrown. So it was a good episode if you are thinking about watching it. But that will be it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. As always, love you, love you, love you. And next week, we'll cover all things Selling Sunset. So get excited for that. And the live reunion, they're now doing a live reunion this season, will be airing on Wednesday or Thursday. It should be out by the time you're listening to this, pretty much. So if you liked this episode and you're enjoying this podcast, please share with a friend. Give me that follow, that subscribe, and you can keep up with us at Easily Entertained Pod on Instagram. That's it for this week, honeys. Keep yourself safe and feel your emotions maybe here and there. Or don't, and listen to this podcast instead. Love you. Bye.